This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts. bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
Hello. This is the third programme in our series on culture and intercultural communication. Who on earth are we? In this programme, Mark Beebe looks at language and culture. Here's Mark.
Hello. Today we begin our look at the building blocks of culture. Those things which help give a culture and its people their character. Those things which can often be so very different from one culture to another. We start with something which often seems to be the most obvious difference of all. Language.
I think it was Professor David Crystal who said that there really ought to be a word languiculture, because language and culture are so fundamentally tied together. What we do is we use language as a way of labelling things, and we label them to reflect the way that we see things in our culture, and to make it easier for us to navigate our way through life and understand each other because of the fact that we all understand these common labels that we've put on things. So a language is symbolic. It's symbolic of the thoughts, the thought patterns that we have, and it represents the assumptions and the values that are standardized by our own culture.
Urdu developed in the courts and very formalized atmosphere of urban India and Pakistan. As a result, it is a language which has a lot of formality in it. The way you speak to, let's say, somebody you know well would be completely different from the way you speak to somebody you don't know well, or the way you speak to somebody junior to you would be very different from the way you speak to somebody who's senior to you. So these are distinctions which are cultural, and they have come into the language itself.
Mahmoud Jamal from Pakistan, and earlier Rebecca Fong, a teacher of intercultural communication at the University of the West of England. As they both suggest, culture and language are tied together. Language isn't just a tool to help people from the same culture communicate effectively. It's also a window into the way people from that culture see the world. But just a minute. Why should language tell us anything about a particular culture? Surely we all look at the world in much the same way. After all, we're all human. Isn't it natural to think that people from other cultures will use language in exactly the same way that we do? Well, maybe not. 100 years ago, language experts believed that you could say exactly the same thing in two different languages just by accurately translating the vocabulary and the grammar. But in the early 20th century, people began to look at languages a bit more closely. One of these people was the amateur linguist Benjamin Lee Whorf. Whorf went to study the language of the Hopi people in the southwest of the United States of America. And he made some interesting discoveries. For example, the area where the Hopi lived was very cold, so they had many more different words for snow than, say, English has. Whorf also learned that the Hopi saw time as one continuous event. It couldn't be broken up into units. So the language had no way of counting time. You couldn't say 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. There were no words to distinguish seasons like summer, autumn and winter, and there were no past or future tenses. Facts like these led Whorf to draw conclusions that revolutionised the way people thought about language and culture, as Rebecca Fong explains.
Whorf deduced from all of this that how you perceive the world affects the language that you speak, because the language that you speak arises from your needs as a culture, the environment that you live in, and that must mean that all of our languages are in some way different. So it's not as simple as there being a one-to-one correspondence or correlation between languages. And anyone who's ever tried to translate anything from one language to another will know that it's not easy and that you sometimes have to translate concepts with very different words for the people in another culture to get the same meaning from them. This means that languages are relative and not universal.
Rebecca Fong. Languages are different, and not just in the way they sound or the words they use. The customs of a language, its grammar, the words themselves are a product of the way the people of a culture experience the world, and we don't all experience the world in the same way. This means that accurately translating words from one language to another may not be enough for us to understand the cultural meaning that lies behind the words. To illustrate this, here are three examples of language that might be difficult to translate because of its cultural content, from Rebecca Fong, Ailey Hamilton, and first, Dr. George Zhang from China.
In Chinese language, we have words which actually shows the kind of a subjective view of the people towards time. Either being fast or being slow has a lot to do with how we feel as a person, rather than sort of being measured by an objective unit. If you sit next to a beautiful girl and you know, time goes very fast, if you sit to a very ugly lady and time goes very slow, you could see this kind of thing in the Chinese language.
I can remember being very confused in Japan in the intervals between work when I'd meet someone in the corridor and they'd say to me, "Otsukaresama deshita." And I spent ages wondering what "Otsukaresama deshita" meant. It actually means, "We're all very tired, aren't we?" The effect of that isn't to express our tiredness. It's just a way of greeting someone in a corridor and showing that we're all working hard together. I soon started using it myself, but it was not something that I would ever say in the equivalent work situation in Britain. People would all think I was mad if I said, "We're all very tired, aren't we?" This example just goes to show that there are often times when we can't translate or where there isn't the right expression to use in a particular context. And even when we can translate the words, it doesn't carry the same cultural meaning as it does in the original language.
Religious terminology features a lot more in Arab culture. People would invoke the name of God as protection over a newborn child. They would say, "Praise God," if they mean I'm fine or if something good has happened. If it's the will of God, when they're talking about hoping that something might happen. So that is a very strong feature in the language, which means a direct translation into English often sounds strange.
Ailey Hamilton.
BBClearningEnglish.com.
As I said earlier, it's natural for us to think that people from other cultures use language in the same way that we do. This is because in the same way that we're born into a culture and accept its ways of doing things without thinking, so we're also born into a language, and we accept the way it represents life and experience as normal. And because we think of it as normal, we don't notice that our native language actually affects the way we see the world. Here's Dr. George Zhang with an example of how the Chinese language both represents and influences Chinese culture.
I think that the Chinese language helps people to visualize whereabout they should be in the society and how they should behave. You're taught, ever since you start to speak the language, to follow the certain kind of rules. You're taught to understand individual bit doesn't make a lot of sense unless you are a member of a community, a family to start with, a community to go beyond it, and the language reflects this process. Writing an envelope is a very easy example. If you want to write to somebody, in English you would say the name of the receiver, so and so, and then the number of the house, and then you got a street, and the district, and the city, and then finally the country. Well, in Chinese, it's the other way around. You start with the country, and then go into the city, and then go into the district, and then the street, number of the house, and the person who receives the letter. In the Chinese language, the person, individual, doesn't make any sense unless it is in the context. So the culture and the language, in many ways, I think they are interrelated.
Dr. George Zhang on how language can both represent and influence culture. Now, at this point, you might feel like giving up. How on earth are we ever going to understand anyone from a different language background if languages are so closely related to their culture and it's so difficult to translate cultural meaning accurately? Well, don't despair. We can still communicate effectively.
What Benjamin Lee Wolfe discovered about languages was very, very important to how we think about language and culture today. Groups of humans perceive the world in a shared way, and because of this, they develop a language which shows this worldview. But there are other people who believe that although languages are patterned to reflect our own individual cultures, there's still a common core of language that's universal enough for us to understand the general meaning of what someone from another culture is trying to say. So, in the end, the real message to us as interculturalists is that we can still communicate despite linguistic and cultural differences, and that being aware of these differences is an important step on the road to better communication and to becoming interculturally competent.
Rebecca Fong. We can still communicate with people from other cultures despite linguistic and cultural differences. The important thing, as Rebecca says, is to be aware of these differences and to think about them when we meet people from different backgrounds. And when we do this, we take an important step on the road to more effective intercultural communication. Of course, language isn't the only tool we use to communicate with one another. In our next two programmes, we'll be thinking about other ways of communicating and looking at some of the sometimes embarrassing intercultural problems they can create. I'll leave you with a final word on language from Rebecca Fong. And the final word is fun. Join us next time.
I've studied a lot of languages and I've completely enjoyed myself learning them. For a start, you're accepted much better in the cultures where you've tried to learn a language. People are automatically willing to give you far more if you've spent some time learning their language.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.